Balotelli, Aguero! I swear you'll never see anything like this ever again!
Gavin keeps it. Skin on goal, look at that pass. Hey, look! Goal, Columbus!
There are things on here for the USA. Can they do it here? Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! But Donovan has scored! Can you believe this? Go, go, USA!
This is the beautiful game.
Oh, it's incredible!
Described by two uglies.
Stupendous!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
This is a thing of genius.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
We got a lot to get into today. We have some good news, I think, for Barcelona fans because they've gotten rid of a club legend who was also not very good as a manager. We'll talk about that. Some bad news for Manchester United. Maybe that leads to good news. Maybe you guys also,
maybe it leads
Beamer,
to the perpetual circle of sucking. Boom. Maybe it leads to
there's,
that.
There's that. We have, on the good bad news front, good news for Kansas City women's soccer team. We're going to talk about them making some history, as well as a midfielder from Australia who has made some history as well. So we'll talk about all that coming up, but thought we would start off with a little MLS update because we talk about the crew, but we don't really talk about all of MLS.
This is your time to shine, Bone.
Well, I know you watch a lot of MLS soccer, yeah. as do I. Watch all the games, but we're going to talk about the crew, of course, first. Last night, lower.com field, they had a big win, nice win, over Orlando, almost gave it away at the end, 3-2, 9 minutes of stoppage time, though. I don't know where that comes from, but it happened. But it was good because the crew got the three goals. The third one was the one you should have seen, Lucas Zelarayán with an absolute banger of a goal. Should be the goal of the year. Although there was one in the Portland game last night that's also getting goal of the year love.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to start there? We'll start there.
Yeah, let's start there. Let's start there.
All right, so Lucas' goal was unbelievable, right? I mean, that's 1,000% goal. He did the best job. Couldn't get to it. Unbelievable shot. Tried this for the save. All right, Lucas' goal is a world-class goal. I would contend to you that the goal in the Portland game was hot trash with a great finish. Like, everything about that goal in the Portland game. I'm not trying to take away anything from the player who scored that goal. It's unbelievable, and it should be getting all the highlights in the world. The fact that the goalie ran out, bobbled the ball. All right, Portland guy. I see. This is how much of a soccer expert I am. I'm just saying the guys on the team. I don't even know the parties involved with these. And then the defender who's trying to track down that ball is loafing on his way back to the goal line. It seemed like he could have cleared that out of the air, and he just couldn't do it. Took a bad angle. So great goal. Lucas's, on the other hand, was world class. You know it. That he possesses that talent.
Yeah, Darren Aspria was the guy who had the bicycle kick goal that went in their game as well. But like you said, it was a bike. It was nice.
It was great. It was great.
Like incredible to do that with no goalie in there. And that's
the
really
up
what
to himself was maybe the best part about it for me.
Yeah,
the flick up. All right, then you bike. That's great.
I mean, I do like how you're dismissing a guy biking it from 25 yards out, but that's, I mean, yes, putting it on frame is the tough part, obviously, but also, like, I'm with you that doesn't happen unless the goalkeeper runs out and is then out of position and messes that whole thing up. I still think that gets saved. Lucas's shot is not getting saved by, you can do that anywhere in the world you want. Put him in with, put any goalie out there and that's not going to be stopped. It was just hit it square with his toe box on the shoe, not with the laces, right? That's more of a just hit it like square and it just bends and dives. And actually, I should have prepared you to do this, but do you have a way to pull up the audio on the computer in your studio?
I don't know. I don't know how anything
works.
Okay.
Well, never mind.
I don't know. I tried to do that once. It never works. I don't know.
That's fine. Okay. This is the technical difficulties of working in two separate places. But here's why I ask. Because if people have not heard, I've tweeted it out. We will tweet it out from Bone and Beam United on Twitter, at Bone and Beam United. Jordan Angeli's call. Well, not call. She's, you know, Neil Sika's calling the shot. He has a great call. But then Jordan is analyzing it.
Yeah.
And she's going through the replay. And she just has this level of emotion, not even emotion, this level of reaction, I guess, that you rarely hear out of professional broadcasters, because everyone is so concerned with, like, well, I've got to show you, I've seen that before, I'm not amazed by anything. And instead, she brings this joy to the broadcast that is so welcome in a world of just stodgy, no one's impressed by anything anymore.
Yeah, you like know, me not being announcers. Impressed by the bicycle goal. Yeah, 1,000% correct.
Right. Like, so go listen to her call, because they're showing an angle of the replay that she and no one else had seen to that point, and she's reacting to it in real time. And it's when everyone realizes not only did Lucas get this ball to swerve and dip like a Roberto Carlos free kick, he also hit the top of the crossbar to bang it in.
Right.
And she, as it's doing that, is just, oh my gosh. Like, she's just like, you know, wow, this is great, this is all, oh my gosh. And then after that, there's a pause. She just goes, woohoo. Like, just like, yeah. Like, hell yeah. We're living it, man. This is, it felt like, honestly, it felt like a moment that a Ted Lasso screenwriter would have put together, but it just happened. It's just a real life nice moment. So I appreciated that. I'm glad we have Jordan being a part of the crew broadcast.
She's great, by the way.
She does. Yeah. She makes the broadcast incredible. She does a great job. Neil does a great job. They are phenomenal together. So I hope many more years of that partnership, because it's excellent. So nothing bad to say about that. Also, hey, good news. Crew did not get eliminated at home. So
no. They didn't get eliminated at all, actually. No. They're still alive somehow.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because Caleb Porter over this past week said, hey, you watch it. We're going to fight. We are not going to get mathematically eliminated at home. I can promise you that.
Yeah, it's like, maybe you shouldn't have lost against Red Bulls then.
Thank you for lowering our expectations this year. It's like, hey, guys, at least we didn't get eliminated at home. It's like, so there, are you guaranteeing we're getting eliminated this weekend? Because then you only have one more game, and that one is at home. So I don't know what that means. Anyway, the point is the Crew still have, sadly, according to 538, a 2% chance of making the playoffs.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has anybody worked out what needs to happen? I mean, I guess we could go through this right now and do it on the fly. Obviously, the Crew need to get...
Well, here, I'll show you the standings real quick, and we'll just briefly address that. So Columbus sits 10th on 41 points.
Yep.
DC is at 44. They are the last team in. Atlanta's at 46. So chances are you're going to have to hope that DC loses.
Which you can give them a loss this weekend.
Hopefully so. You have to have that. Right, of course. So that is with 32 games to play. They have two games left, like the Crew. Crew have two as well. Montreal and New York are on 43 points, only 1 point behind DC. The Crew are 3 points behind DC. But New York and Montreal have two games left to play.
And so, New York and Montreal also play a game against each other coming up this weekend.
So if they could tie that game, be on 44, the Crew win. Now decision day becomes super duper interesting in that way, because everyone's on 44 points. Four teams would be sitting at 44 with one game to play, and I don't know. I got to see who DC plays and Montreal. I don't know who they're playing in their last game, but that means everybody could have it all to play for, and you could have a four-way tie, I guess, theoretically at the end. Let me look and see real quick who's... Yeah, their last game's Toronto, so that's not great for the Crew's chances. But anyway, that, like, it's imperative. You have to go beat DC this weekend. That's the... Can't lose that game. It's over for you if you do.
Correct.
And then you have to hope that New York and Montreal tie.
And then the Red Bulls finish up their season with Atlanta and Nashville, or their last two games.
Oh, yeah, right, because they have one more game. So, yeah, you have to hope they lose both those. You have to hope Montreal, who finishes up with, who do they have? That would be the last little piece of this puzzle. They have Houston and Orlando. So, Houston's, God, Houston's bad, and Orlando has not... I mean, Orlando's a better team. They just didn't play like it yesterday. So maybe if they could lose... They have to tie and lose two games, and so does New York. And then the Crew have to win their two games.
Correct. Looks grim. Looks grim as we're right. breaking that down there on the fly.
And DC has to lose too.
Well, correct. Right.
Both their last games. So, Yeah, anyway, that's not easy. So, yeah, there you go. There's your bleak playoff hopes. But here's what I know. The Crew didn't get eliminated last night, so I guess we can all take some solace in that.
And they scored one of the best goals that you're going to see.
Yes, that's true. We got one of the greatest goals we've ever seen. And by the way, if tomorrow they said we're building a statue to Lucas El Rayon.
Okay, done.
Done deal. I'm like, tell me where to send the check to help pay for that, because I'm totally about it.
Yeah, must be nice for him to pay the check for his El Rayon statue.
No, not pay for the whole, I'm saying.
That's what you just said, pay the check.
No,
sure, write the check. May as well consider you part of the organization. Writing out blank checks for stadium statues. Look at you. Look at Bone. Must be nice.
Yeah, I'm going to send an email to the whole staff to that effect.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
No, so I'm saying I would donate, like, I don't know, $50 or $100 perhaps to a statue drive. That's what I'm saying. God. We should build a statue to you, by the way, because you just resurrected New England out of the ashes,
yeah,
like a phoenix.
That's my bad, I guess.
So for people who don't know the history, a few years ago, Brad Friedel was coaching New England.
Yep.
He was awful at it.
Mm-hmm.
He was at one point encouraging the fans to fight
kick
the players' ass in the car park outside of the stadium. So that's good. You went to the game that they played at Crew Stadium that year.
Yeah.
And heckled the shit out of him.
Yeah, I was right behind their bench, was heckling him the entire time.
You were joking about what he was wearing.
Yeah.
It was great. It was a really, I wish we could have recorded all that.
That's
and
really,
saved it.
You know, that's really where my Crew fandom started. I will say that. Like, you know, I was kind of one foot in.
Like a hardcore.
Yeah.
Crew
I was
fan.
One foot in, one foot out, you know, at that time. Went there. We were doing the podcast. I'm like, you know what? Fully in. There's no reason I should not be fully in. And the city that I live in and the sport that I enjoy, I should not in no way, shape, or form be into this. And that's really where. And then Brad Friedel got fired and I felt responsible for the entire thing. So there you go.
Well, and who did they hire to replace him?
Tyrion
Some guy
Lee.
Named no. That's some guy named Bruce Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up taking the job, which they're at the time. People, I don't know how many people know this, but Bruce Arena's name, I heard on real good authority, was heavily considered for the Crew job. Or at least that there was a thought of, like, maybe we can get him. Now they obviously ended up with Caleb Porter and they won an MLS Cup. So that worked out and beat, by the way, Bruce Arena in the playoffs last year. So that'll always be something we can hold on to. But New England this year, different story. They were good last year. They are great this year. They set the MLS points record for a single season in last night's game,
Woo!
In Wednesday night's game. 73 points, and they have one more game to play, and they'll be on they're playing Inter Miami on Decision Day, which is a week and a half from now. So they will be on full rest, ready to go. And I would think they smoke Inter and put Inter Miami and put them up to 76. But Bruce Arena, I can't really stand him. His second stint with the U.S. men's national team was god awful, but he's an MLS coaching god. Like, in MLS, won three, four championships with DC and then New York. He was very good with New York and then obviously has gone on and done great things with New England now. So yeah, and oh, by the way, LA, he was also really good he's just everywhere he's gone. He's won and been really great. So I hate his guts. He's annoying. He's a curmudgeon, but he's a great soccer coach, at least in MLS.
Yeah, so you have me to thank, Revs fans, for getting Brad Friedel fired.
That's right.
Nothing of his own doing, just me.
Here's the thing. I mean, the Crew aren't going to be in the playoffs. And
how dare
I
you
know-
say that, actually?
Okay.
I'm offended by that statement.
Mathematically, they could still get into
the
playoffs.
They could be eliminated if you're listening this at Saturday night at 10 o'clock, though. So I'll put the timestamp on
that. All right, let me make it a comparison. That is like me saying, hey, Beamer, I've started a new diet where I will only eat Mike's Hot Honey. And you might say, well, mathematically, that's not impossible, I guess, if you ate the right amount of hot honey. And that's... it's not impossible you would lose weight. It just doesn't seem likely to me that a hot honey diet would be that great of a way to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I guess it's possible. That's where the Crew are. They're on the hot honey diet. Anyway, I kind of feel like I would root for New England a little bit to get it done this year. They've never in their history won MLS Cup. They are an original team. They've still got their original logo, which they are changing. But they are changing to also a pretty cool logo. So, yeah, New England. Not bad.
Yeah, that's, you know what? I'll never root for anything Boston in my life. So you can have New England.
Right,
and as you know, going back to the old annals of Bone and Beam United history, I'm cheering for the Whitecaps. That's what I'm doing this year. Going straight Vancouver. Those are my guys.
It's gonna be fun. You should cheer for Vancouver. They'll be in the playoffs at least, so that's an improvement.
Yeah.
So
sure
you're
is.
So they can cheer for them out of the West. Let me just tell you. Rest of the teams here can't root for Nashville on the fact alone.
Yellow.
They've stolen yellow, yep. But also the fact that they have, like, to start their games off, they have someone do a guitar solo, which is just cornball as hell. So I can't root for that.
We have
can't
a guy jackhammering a brick.
That's got to go away. And also that is, I just want to be clear, that's a goal celebration, not a start of the game. So theoretically, that doesn't have to happen every game. It's almost to the point now where I root for us now to score just because I don't want to hear the jackhammer go off. Anyway, so Nashville, can't root for them. Philadelphia, no. Cannot root for them in any way, shape, or form. One, because they're new blood. Two, because their games are always boring as hell. Three, because I don't like the dupe chant. Four, because I think their stadium is in a terrible location. Five, I don't know. There's probably other reasons. Jim Curtin sucks.
What's reason six?
I don't know. I've run out of them.
Okay.
New York City, no. I can't root for you. You play in a baseball stadium. You suck. Orlando fans, you're awful. I hate you. No. Atlanta, no.
Already had too many nice things.
No. And Atlanta fans, too, are just like, it's not great that we're only sixth in the place. Shut up. You're like Vegas Knights fans. I don't like you. Y'all are too much success too early. We're done. I hope you lose every game the rest of your existence. And DC United. No, I can't ever root for DC United. So New England is the only one of the playoff teams in the East.
Oh, what if the Red Bulls or Montreal get in, though?
Then they will be the teams that kept out Columbus.
Okay.
So, no. So I can't root for them.
I hope
so
we get
no.
a Vancouver-Montreal MLS Cup final.
Well, okay, again, Red Bulls, maybe I could root for as like an underdog. But again, they would have kept out the Crew, so I wouldn't be thrilled with that. And if we're going to have any justice in this league, the team that won the Supporters Shield and set the MLS record, I hope that team does well enough to go and win it all. Like I'm saying, New England, it would be just if they win. And I mean, look at the West. The best team in the West, Kansas City and Seattle, they're tied with 58 points. New England has 73. Like, this is an over. This should be over. They should cancel the playoffs and just make New England the champion.
All
That's
right,
what I'm
just
saying.
Go straight European League then.
Yeah.
Are Europification? Europification? Europeanizing?
Europified?
Yeah, I don't know. Something like that. I mean, if we really want to get on board with what they're doing, which seems like what Don Garber wants to do here,
That's right.
Every team adding an FC behind them, you know, we'll just do that. Straight points. Fine.
By the way, I forgot to mention this before we get out of our MLS talk. We'll move on to your team next. But how about FC Cincinnati, Kentucky FC? They
great night. I turned the game off at 3-1. Did they win?
You know what? They'd wish that you could have just stopped the game at that point, but it did not actually stop after you turned it off.
Okay.
They accomplished some history last night. They lost 6-3 to Nashville after being up 3-1. They have become the first team. Not first team ever. Yes, first team ever in MLS history to win three straight wooden spoons. The wooden spoon is what you give to the last place. That's like a fan goofy award, but that's the term that's given to the last place finisher in MLS every year. They have locked that up after their loss. So they have three straight wooden spoons. No one in league history has lost that much in 3 years, and they've only been around for 3 years.
Yeah,
so
tough scenes. Their new theme song should be Spoon Man, don't you think? They should just run after that.
Oh, yeah.
Spoon Man.
I would love that.
Three
actually,
points out of our hand. Spoon Man.
Man, they are the best in the league at snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. They are so good at
better
that.
Better than us.
Oh, way better than the Crew. The Crew, that is one thing they've got on the Crew. The Crew are like, hey, like last night, the Crew thought, maybe we'll throw this game away and give it away after being up 3-1. And then they gave up a goal, and it looked kind of, and then they closed it out. not FC Cincinnati. They're like, lose.
We got
not
you
only,
fooled.
Not only are we going to lose, we're going to lose in like a complete meltdown and double ourselves up on the losing side. They got, dude, this is the second time in the last two games they've had five goals or more given up.
Mm.
Two in a row where you give up five goals or more. And, oh, by the way, they've done that four times this year.
Seems
They're
bad.
Awful. They are god-awful. Here's an idea. Shut the team down for a year and start over. Don't even play next year, 2022. Give yourselves a breather. This is obviously a lot of work for Jeff Birding and all those idiots that run the team. Take a break. Sit back. Watch all the other teams. Get some ideas. Be like, oh, midfielders who can actually win the ball and then pass it to our players.
This is what we're doing.
That's a great idea. A guy at the top of our formation who can actually score. Defenders who, when they see the other team coming, are not like, I shall look into the stands to see if I can see my family. Oh, there went the guy behind me. No, like maybe just pick players that are a little bit better. Do you remember?
It sounds so easy when you say it like that.
Yeah, I'm saying they need to have
pick players. Here's both strategies to take over team. Pick players who are better at the game.
Yeah,
we're paying you to play.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, Cincinnati fans were really thrilled because they had the highest. The MLS put out their highest selling jerseys of the year. 25, top 25. Lucas De La Rayon's jersey was the highest crew jersey. It was in at number 16.
Boy, that's pretty good for when you can't get them.
Yeah, since they haven't been available since, I don't know, May. That's pretty good, but the Cincinnati fans were like, oh, yeah, well, Brenner's jersey was selling. It was 15th, so bleh. And it's like, great. I can't help but Cincinnati fans are happy to waste their money on a guy who sucks. Like, I don't know. Like, put him and Lucas El Rayon on the same field, and there's no contest who's a better player. But anyway, Cincinnati needs to have a gap year like they have going from high school to college.
Where it's
like,
to figure myself out.
I don't really know what I want to do. Maybe I'll go to Europe.
I need to grow.
Yeah, take a year off. Go enjoy watching other soccer leagues, figure out what you're doing, and then come back and build it back stronger in 2023. But I was going to ask you, are you aware of what they did when they first entered the league? One of their first official business things they did when they joined up with MLS?
No, I have no clue.
There is the MLS Super Draft.
Yes, I'm aware.
Newsflash. Nobody really cares much about the Super Draft. Occasionally you find a Miguel Berry in the Super Draft, but it's not often, right? Most teams have kind of given up on finding huge talent in the Super Draft. They've opted for many of the other opportunities, academies, bringing in international players, whatever. But the FC Cincinnati, one of the first things they did, their first Super Draft, they traded Philadelphia Union for all of Philadelphia's draft picks. Philadelphia was like, we're getting rid of all of our draft picks. We do not care about this. It is a dumb idea and a bad way to build a team. And Cincinnati was like, look at the bargain we can get. So they sent $200,000 in allocation money.
Was it Tam or Gam?
It was a mix of both,
ooh,
I believe.
All right.
It was Tam and Gam. Anyway, they sent $200,000 in allocation money, which is actually a pretty good asset in something that could get you a really great player and get him under the salary cap. Nope. They traded that away to get five duds. And they did, I'm guessing.
Not dudes, duds.
I don't even know who they drafted. I'm just saying, they've had no idea what they were doing since they got in the league. They still have no idea what they're doing 3 years in. Austin FC, and it pains me to say this, Austin FC is a better run soccer team than FC Cincinnati.
Mm.
Chew on that. Kentuckians, enjoy your miserable offseason again. You guys are terrible. Hell is real, and you suck. All right. Now, got that out of my system.
I was going to say, that was full of vitriol right there.
I will never not be full of vitriol for the Cincinnati fans. I don't know why. It's the rival. We have to be. We'll take a break, and we'll come back and talk about your team.
No, I don't want to.
Oh, you don't want to?
Well, I mean, I don't want to do it.
Well, then I'll just talk about it, and you can just silently say, you can just nod or maybe acknowledge, like with grunts or moans,
okay,
whatever you prefer. We'll do that when we come back. Next, it's Bone and Beam United. Welcome back to Bone and Beam United. So, speaking of losing, let's talk Manchester United. Mm-hmm. They did one of those losing things.
Well, you know, it's all about how you perceive, right? I mean, this is a soccer podcast in which we talk about a whole lot of different teams and leagues. This is about Liverpool winning this game. That's what you're going to go with.
Well, you know, in fairness, like my team, Watford, who I've suffered with for all these many weeks, up and down, we've got 5-2 wins. We've got losses that are massive and disappointing. There's a lot of swings, a lot of ebbs and flows. But Watford got, you know, their teeth kicked in by Liverpool. And you think, all right, that's a bottom half of the league team. They're going to struggle to stay up all year. Liverpool's playing about as well as anybody in world soccer. Yep. It's going to happen, even if you're at home, right? It sometimes does happen. Manchester United does not fancy themselves the Watfords of the world. They think they're above that.
Yeah, they do. They do think they're above that.
Mm. So it turns out you're not. And it turns out Manchester United is right there with everybody else in the league when it comes to can they slow down the Liverpool freight train. Right now, the answer is no. They have no answers. And it's not, you're right, maybe that's not totally Manchester United's fault. Maybe Liverpool is just that damn good. And we can get into that too. But Manchester United, boy, that's not what old Ole wanted to see at this point.
No, it's not, and it might be one of the last things that he sees in charge of Manchester United, too. It was really wild to watch this game unfold, wasn't it? I mean, coming into the game, pretty low expectations. I was hoping, actually, for just a draw. Like, I would have been pretty happy with that. And then 10 minutes goes by in the match, and you're like, boy, would you be thrilled with a draw right now. I mean, Keita gets things going in the fifth minute, and then all of a sudden, Jota scores in the 13th, and you're like, all right, 2-0 down. You did it in the midweek. Maybe somehow you can muster the magic yet again. No, sir, that was false pretenses. Mo Salah proves he's the best player in world soccer right now. He goes out. What does he do? Up, nothing. Just scores a hat trick. Paul Pogba, boop, red card, 60th minute. Oh, great. Everything's going fine here for Manchester United, always at the wheel. Oh, great, you got Cristiano Ronaldo, too. Can't seem to get him the ball. Nothing was working at all, and I was so upset by this, Bone. And the fact, too, sidebar, I'm a Chicago Bears fan in the NFL. They had to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right after that. I was a mess. All right, that was one of the worst sporting days I think I've ever had. And so it was no good, very bad. Ole's going to be out here. They got a big matchup coming up this weekend on Saturday against Tottenham. He doesn't win that game, he's out. Antonio Conte is going to be in. Not necessarily sure if you can change that around. Paul Pogba leaving on a free transfer. They can't get contract negotiations with him. This team is very, very dumb at the moment. And it's just a cycle, week in, week out. But hey, man, it is what it is when you go against the mighty Reds of Liverpool. That's right. Yeah. I know. It's horrible, but I have to say it. They're just so damn good, and United are poo.
Let me say this, because I know there are some people out there who are just relishing the fact that Manchester United fans like yourself.
Yeah, as they should be.
Well, right. But let me say that as someone who has, and I know you've done this too, rooted for the Ohio State Buckeyes for a long time, I think that empathy is important, even though it is really fun to jump on the dog pile, and I plan to do that often mm-hmm. with Manchester United. Yeah. Probably will have more opportunities. But I will say, I feel this morning, I feel a little empathetic with you in the sense that if Ohio State, after, you know, whether it was when Jim Tressel left or when Urban left, if at one of those points they had then proceeded to go on the types of roller coaster rides that Manchester United's been on ever since Sir Alex left, I could see how, as an Ohio State fan, I know no one else would have sympathy for us, but I would feel very, my stomach would turn, because you're just not prepared for this when you've rooted for Manchester United your whole life. You know, you're not prepared for it when you've rooted for Ohio State your whole life.
You're not prepared for when you've rooted for Watford for 3 weeks. You know, like that's a tough thing to comprehend.
Well, but Watford, hey, listen, I've already suffered more as a Watford fan than you ever have as a Manchester United fan in your whole existence. As far as, like, your team is always the struggle of will they or will they not make Champions League? Will they or will they not win the league? Like, in my weeks as a Watford fan, I've already contemplated whether life is worth living, is, you know, because you just You're like, what is this meager existence? Is the championship so bad after all? You have those moments when Liverpool's running roughshod.
There are nice moments in the championship.
What I'm saying is Watford fans can look at the Liverpool match and say, championship wasn't so bad. We didn't have to deal with Mo Salah. That was pretty great. And they could see some solace. And if they do go back down, well, then they'll be one of the best teams in championship. Manchester United doesn't have that frame of reference. So it's like, well, we thought we had our Mo Salahs and we thought we were like this Liverpool squad. We thought we were comparable.
His name is Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah. And it turns out as of right now that's now you find out yet again, after years and years of that being the case where it's like, oh, don't worry, Wayne Rooney will rescue us or Cristiano Ronaldo will rescue us or, you know, one of the many other greats will come through at some point.
No, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he'll rescue us.
Yeah, right, sure. Instead, now what you're at is like, no, there's no help coming and we're not sure what's going to happen here. We got to restart over again. And all I'm saying is I'm feeling a little empathetic, so I get it just a bit. I do feel for you slightly because you have no frame of reference for this pain.
You know, it's pretty amazing, man. I'll go back to where we were at last year, right? You look at the situation that was unfolding with Chelsea. It kind of has the same feel to it, does it not? I mean, manager losing track, losing steam, players coming out, having his backing before the game. And then all of a sudden that slips by. Okay, that's fine. We're going to go with a new manager. Frank Lampard's going to bring out. We're going to bring in Thomas Tuchel. It kind of has a similar paths. When you look at Chelsea's business and what they did last year, they brought in a ton of players and they spent a load of money. Manchester United's no different, right? You bring on Jadon Sancho, you bring in Ronaldo, you bring in Rafael Varane, who's picked up an injury playing for France. These guys, I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's the lack of a will to want to do something. I don't know. I have no idea what it is. But right now, your hope as a Manchester United fan, and maybe delusional, is that Ole goes out, whether it be Antonio Conte, which seems to be the rumors have him coming in as the next manager in charge of Manchester United, whether it be Zidane, I'm not really sure. What you are hoping for is to not embarrass yourselves anymore in the Premier League, and maybe, just maybe, you can get the last gasp of Cristiano Ronaldo to do something special and pull you out of the doldrums and keep yourself alive in the Champions League as long as possible. Like, that's honestly where I'm at right now. I went home, looked in the mirror on Sunday, I'm like, this is not a great situation to be in. For United, that's the only thing you can point towards. Not saying nearly they're a good enough team to win Champions League, but maybe, just maybe, if you make it out of the group, you can do something special with a new head man in charge. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, that's what you're trying to do at this point is you are trying to find a way to stay in Champions League next year. You are trying to find a way to do something maybe special this year with Champions League. But it's going to take a lot of, you know, over the next, basically through Boxing Day.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of turmoil, upheaval, guys playing out of position, turnover in the roster, going to have to probably bring in some help in, you know, the winter transfer window, and then hope that that's enough of a Band-Aid. And I'm not saying it's a gunshot wound, right? I'm just saying, like, are the holes big enough that they can be covered? Are they small enough they can be covered with Band-Aids and fixes in the season? Or do you have to wait till the offseason
Flex
to fully
seal.
Revamp?
Flex right? seal is what you need.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Just slap it on that bucket, baby, and the hole goes away. All right, so Manchester United, the Flex Seal needers of the Premier League. We'll see how they do against Tottenham this weekend. But again, you can't even begin with the Flex Seal until you acknowledge that you have a hole in the bucket. So
right.
That's where they are now.
One of my favorite things, too, about United is like Jay Glazer, the NFL reporter for Fox, just keeps on getting tweets about like owning the team. And he like just leans into it so hard, too. He was like, you know what? I've decided that we're going to give Ole a 10-year contract and he's going to be the man. Like, I love it. It's great. He gets so many wrong tweets aimed at him and
right,
he just fully leans into it.
He's not of the Glazer family that owns the team.
Different Jay Glazer.
Yes. Right, exactly. So that's good times. Not good times for Barcelona. I think it's weird. It's not like we don't ever talk about La Liga, but we don't spend a ton of time with, you know, a lot of the title races or things like that. We tend to talk about La Liga more in the framework of transfers and Champions League.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's where we talk about the Bundesliga. That's where we tend to talk about Serie A. We're more interested in what are the big clubs doing when it comes to transfers, where are players going, and of course, what's going to happen in Champions League. But Ronald Koeman is now out at Barcelona. We have talked about Barcelona a ton on this show this
year. Seems like every week for the past 3 months.
There's just always more fuel for the dumpster fire that is raging right now And I don't know what the solution is. So they're ninth in La Liga.
Mm-hmm.
Ninth.
It's their worst start since 2001. It's 20 years.
Yeah. They've lost 4 out of 5, including El Clasico to Real Madrid, which no shock there. But this, I found this nugget from Graham Hunter of ESPN, who said this. He said, a reminder for those who've moved on from last season. Koeman's team was top of La Liga on April 24th, which is important. My sidebar here is important to remember because we have talked about how absolutely awful they've been pretty much since the summer transfer and the end of last year. But they were leading La Liga late April of last year.
Mm-hmm.
He then points out they took 1 point from their last 3 home matches thanks to defeats against Granada and Celta Vigo. Okay. Celta Vigo, having led in each match, where the opponents took 3 points thanks to late goals. Barcelona also drew 0-0 to Atletico Madrid, the eventual champion. That 1 point return from a possible 9 was the key factor in Koeman and company losing the title by 3 points. They only needed one more win. And that's, I think, the issue when you're coaching at a big club like Barcelona. They wanted to get rid of him last year.
Yeah.
After that. After you come into the final home stretch of the season and you crap
everything
your pants
to play
like that,
for.
Yeah, you could have won the league. And you crapped it away, gave it away to Atletico Madrid, and then you end up not in that spot after all that other upheaval and everything going on with Messi and all that other stuff. They still had a chance to win the league last year and go out on a high note, and instead they crapped it away, and then they decided, let's keep Ronald Koeman around. And basically the reason for that was because they had no money to pay him to go away.
Right.
Isn't that ridiculous for a club like Barcelona? That's how bad they are in a financial strait right now. Dire financial straits they find themselves in. Just awful for them. So, yeah, they're rudderless right now. Who did they hire? Was it?
I don't even know. I have no clue.
Actually, I should know that. I thought it was in. Was it Xavi they hired? Am I wrong?
They're thinking about hiring him. Correct?
Okay, they haven't actually hired him yet.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. All right. So anyway, right. That's
La Liga experts. Me and you.
Yeah. Well, actually, as Wikipedia says, current manager of La Liga club Barcelona.
All right. Well, there you go. Breaking news.
Here you go. In the last 6 hours, they reached an agreement. So Xavi's now head coach of his former club. We'll see. That worked out really well for the last guy who did that. Oh, wait. No, they just fired him.
So, and
maybe it'll work out this time.
And one's about to be fired, too.
Right?
You know, so everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, Ronald Koeman, obviously Barcelona legend, but now not anymore. That's the rough part, man. Whenever you hire these legends, that's why Guillermo Barros Schelotto coaching the crew, like, part of me really wanted to see that back when they were looking at who should they get to be the new manager with the new ownership. And part of me realized, boy, it's
you know how it's going to end.
Right.
You know,
coaches are hired to be fired. And yeah. Do you really want to see a club legend go through that? But anyway, maybe Xavi's the man who can rescue them there. All right. Couple other notes before we get out of here. Not a small note, by the way. This is a very cool thing. The Kansas City NWSL team has announced on Tuesday they are going to be building the first stadium in the U.S. specifically for a women's soccer team.
Isn't that amazing?
It's going to cost $70 million. It will be privately financed. Now, in the world of stadium building, $70 million is not nearly... I mean, the new Lower.com Field was $300 million.
Yeah.
Obviously, many of the new NFL and Major League Baseball stadiums you see
billions
going up...
Billions with Bs.
Billions, yes. Billions with a B is how much those cost. But still, $70 million privately financed. The owners are Angie Long, Chris Long, and Brittany Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Brittany Matthews? You may also know her as the spouse of Patrick Mahomes. And I think that's really cool to see that the Mahomes family, you know, through Brittany Matthews is being involved in Kansas City sports in this way. But I didn't know this till I was looking up a little bit more on her. Did you know she played professional soccer
in,
of all places, Iceland? She played professional soccer in Iceland for a year.
That's awesome.
She's a certified trainer and you know, has done health and fitness stuff since then, but she played in college and then went off to play professionally for a year. So she has a big soccer background. I had no idea about.
No, I didn't either. You know, just when you look into this you know, how much it costs to build the Crew Stadium and how much it's costing for them to build their stadium. It's nothing short of a tremendous thing that is happening. Anytime you get to grow the game, it's great. You can look at the numbers. Like, people are spending $70 million on this, right? And I know that and the Rams and the Chargers just opened up a $1 billion stadium. Tottenham did as well. But you're having actual people put, you know, their money on the line here to invest in something and they believe in. And, you know, I keep going back to this, like you mentioned, when you took your daughters to the She Believes Cup, right? And so you saw all these stars out there and playing. This is what it's going to take. And we're starting to get to a point in that country with women's soccer. And we've already been there. Our national team is dominant. If we can get, I mean, interest in local teams, it's fantastic to see, is it not? And it's something historic that they're doing. And I saw this story earlier this morning, and I'm like, boy, we have to talk about this on the show, because it is nothing short of tremendous what they're doing out there in Kansas City. That's your own thing. That is your own home. You get to call it yours. You can be proud of that. It is something you represent. And I hope here when we get 5, 10, 15 years down the road that we start to see this more and more, Boone, because the evolution of the game, and especially too, when it comes to the women's game in this country, to be even footing with the men would be a tremendous thing.
Yeah, it really would be. And I think it's, from everything I've heard from where they're putting this stadium, it is basically you fly into Kansas City, take an Uber from the airport to get to the hotel. There's like tons of hotels around where this is going to be. All their entertainment stuff is a walk, short walk away from there. Restaurants, bars. So if you wanted to go to see a women's soccer game at this stadium, I mean, I would have no problem if the women's national team said, when we play big home games, that's where we're playing.
Be great.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's small. It's only going to, I think, hold, what, 11,000 people or something? But cool. Do that.
This is ours.
Yeah, this is ours. This is significant. It's historic. And maybe when other stadiums, as the league grows and continues, and we root for that, maybe then there's bigger stadiums where you can put, you know, maybe larger games. But I would love it to have like a place like that that becomes the home for the women's national team. And I'd have no problem flying out there and going to watch a game. I hope to do so. We wanted to travel a lot more last year, the last couple of years with, you know, COVID and everything happening. We didn't do that. But yeah, man, as soon as, you know, my kids are getting the shots, as soon as we can get to that, hopefully this summer, I do plan on taking them up. I know Chicago's got a women's team that I want to go see. I would love eventually for Columbus to have that. I hope we can. I do know that that's something that's been kicked around. I don't think it's in the immediate plans, but they want to do a second division team for the men's side, and they want to do a women's team. I know that exists. There's motivation for that, and I hope it does happen. But, yeah, it's great to see. And speaking of the women's game, there's no way we can't address this, too. Carly Lloyd played her final match for the U.S. Women's National Team this past week. She has been a fixture for the club. She's a 17-year career. Friendly against South Korea on Tuesday. She is clearly one of the greatest to ever play the sport in the world. An emotional moment there. She subbed out in the 66th minute. She addressed the crowd. I mean, there was not a dry eye in the house. But she's, by the way, do you know where she played her college soccer?
I do not.
Big Ten. Well, not at the time, but now.
Maryland.
Nope. Native of South Jersey. She played at, and I'm going to say she played at Rutgers only because it's Carly Lloyd.
They have their S. The football team does not have their S.
Yes.
Basketball, wrestling, women's soccer, men's soccer, they get their S.
Yeah. Carly Lloyd notched second most caps in U.S. women's national team history. 315.
Damn. International.
Jeez, right? 315 caps. An unbelievable number. Third most goals with 134 and 64 assists, which is good for fifth all time. Only Mia Hamm has more goals and assists in the team's history. So, yeah, Mia Hamm is a legend. Carly Lloyd is a legend. She's just always big in the big moments. Clearly just, you know, what was it, the hat trick that she had in the World Cup final?
Yeah.
Just unbelievable how good she was. So, yeah, she'll be missed, and I wish her well in whatever she does going forward. But, yeah, we're big fans here, and we definitely support her. And, yeah, thank her for all she did for soccer in this country. She is no doubt one of the reasons that my girls have better access to soccer. It's because of people like her. So always appreciate that. Finally, wanted to bring up this story that I saw today as well, or I saw in the last couple days, and I think it's just, it's important for us to highlight and stand with people when, you know, they do something bold. Adelaide United, we don't talk a lot of Australian soccer on this podcast.
That's the other podcast we host.
It's Down Under, mate, with Bone and Beam United. So Adelaide United midfielder Josh Cavallo becomes the first current A-League men's player to publicly announce he's gay. And this is a big announcement for him. The whole league has, you know, come in support of him and said this is great to have him living as himself and finally being able to be out with his teammates. There was a former player who did come out publicly after his career was over in 2019 named Andy Brennan. But I bring this up because I think it's just really interesting to note the amount of players who have come out over the years. It's very minimal, right? It's it's not been a lot of players, but Robbie Rogers played for the Crew in the 2008 season. He helped them win an MLS Cup. He eventually transferred over to Leeds United in January of 2012. And while he was there, he came out as gay in the Premier or in English soccer. I think they were in the second division at that point, but Rogers was the only the second person ever to do that in Britain when he did it in 2012. Sadly, the first person who did that, Justin Fashanow, hanged himself in 1998 after he came out. So the point being, I don't mean to bring up a terrible tragedy like that, but what I am saying is it is progress to see that people can now be themselves in this sport and be supported and loved and allowed to just... loved or hated, whatever, like as far as long as that's for on the field accolades, I'm fine with it. You know what I mean? Like if you don't like a player because something they did in the game, that's totally fine. There were a lot of players, David Beckham and Robbie Rogers mixed it up back in the day when they were playing, you know, that's fine. But we all can stand and support guys who are able to be themselves and to live how they should. So yeah, it's great to see the progress. And I hope this encourages more people to be able to live as they are. And I can't imagine being like the reason you can't do your job properly is because you can't just say like, hey, I go home and this is the person I live with or this is who I care about. It makes no sense to me. And I'm glad to see that we're moving past that.
Yeah,
I hope we continue to.
I'm the same exact way as you, man. And, you know, I talked about this a little bit. I don't remember when we were doing this, you know, 3-4 months ago, whenever. I think this is the reason why people like soccer, right? It's because we've talked about this before. You know, all you need is a ball, right? And so, like, at its inherent most base level, it is the most inclusive game in the world because everybody can play it. And you can build yourself up and you can literally play on a dirt patch or you can play on a turf field, whatever. And so for him to come out and just be himself, like, it's really not, it's not that big of a deal, right? Like, for all the people who get upset about it, like, why do you care how this person lives their life? It's something to me, Bone, that I will never understand, and I know that you and I are on the same page, and many, many of our listeners are. It's the one thing that I have never understood. Like, this person's living their life as, like, how... I don't know. How can you be so crass to sit there and say, well, that's inherently wrong. You're a bad person for that. To me, I don't physically understand it. It almost makes me ill to think about it. Like, how dare you judge someone, you know, based on that? Like, it's just, it's crazy. It's lunacy. And that at its base level is why I like this game so much and why I like the city of Columbus and why I like going to Crew games is because it doesn't matter what your race, your gender, your sexual preference, anything. Everybody is included and you feel like a family whenever you walk into that stadium and you meet new people and everybody's got a smile on their face and they're the nicest people in Columbus. And if we could get that to happen across the entire world, it would be a better place. And so to your point, this is great. You know, it's probably not the only active player in the world, especially in that division across the planet, for this to happen. And kudos to him for the bravery that he is showing. And yeah, you're right. I mean, if we would do this, it would be a much better place from point A to point C.
It's important to remember this too, because yes, like I agree with you that we should live in a world where it is not, it's not a big deal to be
who
you are.
We don't live in that world.
And sadly, we live in a world where we just had a situation where you had players trying to find ways to protest as Russia has criminalization laws against people who are same-sex couples.
Hungary, right? too.
Hungary too, yes. And so, and remember, there was a lot of talk with that, with the Euros of, it was the Euros, right?
Yeah, they were playing in Munich. They wanted to light the stadium up.
That's right. And FIFA told them not to be political. I mean, it's just as I guess I look at it this way. I've never thought about leaving for work and worrying about my house blowing up. That's just not a thought I have. Martin Luther King Jr. was threatened when he was a preacher and an activist that if he kept talking about the racial issues he was highlighting, his house would be blown up. And so he went to work every day, and it was brave for him to leave. It was brave for his wife and children to stay in that house.
Yeah.
And sadly, a bomb did go off at their house. And fortunately, everyone made it out okay and was, you know, was able to not be harmed. But what I'm saying is, you just don't know what it, when Martin Luther King Jr. stepped out of his door on that day, you know, you don't know what he was going through unless you lived his life. And we don't know what, I don't mean to be too dramatic about it, but we don't know what Josh Carvalho or Robbie Rogers or any of these other guys, Justin Fashanow, we don't know what they're going through, and we don't know how brave it is until you get the full picture. And so for people who would say, ah, well, so what? Who cares? It's much different now. It's fine. You don't know how brave these guys are until you realize how much they've had to endure that we never will know about or hear or see. So, yes, I'm glad that at 20, I think he's 21 years old. He can. Robbie Rogers was 25.
Yeah.
You know, the player I mentioned before in Australia was retired. You know, so like it, I'm glad to see that at younger and younger ages, players can say, yeah, now I can get that out of the way. I can just be who I am.
This
and
is I
can
who
have
I am.
My whole career.
I'm comfortable in my own skin.
And they can be accepted and welcomed into the sport. So you're right. It's a good note to end on. I think your point is exactly right. Soccer is egalitarian. Soccer is for everyone. It's supposed to be that way. And I think that's why this sport is one of the best that we have ever come up with in human history, is because it is so simple. It allows everyone to play. And I'm glad that more and more people are embracing that. So, yeah, we'll leave you with that. Positive note at the end here. But, yeah, thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United. And I don't know that it matters to Josh Carvalho, but just know two, like, fat, ugly dudes who live in Columbus, Ohio, we've got your back, man. We're here. I don't know what we can do from here, but we've got your back. That's what I'm telling you. We're stupid. We're dumb. But we got your back.
And we didn't play for Tottenham.
No, we definitely did not.
Deep track joke right there.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So we will talk about your team against Tottenham next week. We will talk about the crew maybe still being on life support in the playoffs. And we'll talk about whatever else is probably going on with Barcelona, which I'm sure will be also in flames by the next time we talk. So till next time, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.